Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's exciting, eh? I think Josh forgot to mention that even the siding they pulled off of the Ed Wing they used for the shed. So, you know, that's one thing God does, is he does use what other people would consider scrap to build into a great house. Can you say amen? There is no scrap in the kingdom of God. If you've been left on the scrap heap, it's your choice. Wasn't God. If you're on the scrap heap of life, it was your choice. If things are not working out, we are not Calvinists in this church. We are not fatalists. We believe God responds to faith. And that's what each and every one of us needs to have. Can you say amen? We're going to dismiss the children. We thank God for each and every one of you as you're going to continue to grow. But before you go, remember, we are soon going to set a date for our second service on Sunday. But it's going to be in Saugerties, not here. Yeah. We're going to be transplanting the church to another location, and then another location, and then another location. So it'll be one church with several locations. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Children, we love you. You are blessed. You may leave. Shalom. I want to go straight into our... I got a lot of feedback. Who was here when I preached on friendship? I heard a lot of people got a lot out of it. Can you say amen? Amen. I'd also like to say that I know... not just in my opinion, but observation is a very simple thing. If you think us leaders are clever, we're not that clever. What it is from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So therefore, every time I listen to you, I know what you're like. Even if you're just kidding, because most of the time you ain't. So therefore, I know what you're like because you speak. When you speak, I can hear it. And I know from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I know what most Christians are like. It's not rocket science. There, of course, is discerning of spirits, and there is discernment that comes from experience, according to Hebrews chapter 6. And thank God I have a little of all of that. I've been preaching the gospel now for 32 years. I'm not a novice. I've also been walking the earth for 62 years and been to 77 countries. And it's amazing what you learn from that. And so these are all things that I want to encourage you, that life is awesome, hallelujah, unless you choose to lay yourself on the scrap heap, because God will never put you there. He'll even pick up the burnt stones and put them back in the wall. Come on, folks, that's pure out of Nehemiah. So what I want to follow up, and we were a little late this morning, but I want to follow up on friendship with the subject of relationship. And to beginning on relationships, the first verse I want to start with is the origin of all relationships. Somebody say origin.
Origin.
Of all.
Of all.
Relationships. It's in Matthew 16. We have Daniel up there who is the... Okay, we'll do it that way, Daniel. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, said, but who do you say that I... Let's hold it to that, Daniel. Nice touch, man. Who do you say that I am? All relationships are built on this. Now, I just came back from Italy, and Italy is a beautiful, beautiful country. We went to Rome, Venice, and Florence. Now, if any of you know anything about history, anything about artists, about sculptors, about anything, we just saw the three most beautiful cities in the world. Rome, Florence, and Venice, the very epicenter of beauty, of Renaissance, of everything's come out of those three cities. Magnificent. You're like, for 9 days we were in a museum. I don't know what you were doing, inside, outside, everything was spectacular. Except some of their religious paintings. And their religious paintings, we've got a professional painter in our midst this morning, but... some of their religious paintings are so irritating because they're so inaccurate. And I was extremely annoyed at Michelangelo, by the way. Oh, yeah, super ticked. Sit down, I'm preaching. Super ticked. The David. Anybody heard of Mr. David? Who knows the statue, the sculpture of David. What? Where do you lot go to school? This is the most famous statue in the world. David. But he wasn't circumcised. And I can't tell you how much I wanted to start a fight in right there in the middle of Florence. He's not circumcised. The whole story of David is based on you uncircumcised Philistine. And then I suddenly thought, this thing was made in 1502 to 1504, 10 years after the Spanish Inquisition, which is an unusual date. Does anybody know what it was? 1492. Yeah, the Spanish Inquisition. I don't know if you knew that date in history, but because I always say it's the year Columbus got lost and discovered the Caribbean. I really sincerely believe that. So here we have, 10 years later, while Columbus is still wondering where the heck he is and what he's doing there, leaving somebody else to actually discover America because he never actually got here. Do you all know that? Do you know how many people didn't know that? Praise hallelujah. Anyway. So I thought Michelangelo must have been an anti-Semite. He had no idea. And then I asked one guy, I said, well, why is he uncircumcised? I heard a guy tongue-in-cheek said, oh, David was a good Italian boy. And I think that was probably what he thought anyway. But who do you say that I am? It is the origin of every relationship. Bar none. You want a relationship with me? Say, for argument's sake, Ben's, I got the mic. Who do you say I am? Some of you just call me Vaughn. Some of you call me Oi. Some of you call me What's Up. I actually don't respond to that. I actually, my ears go chukunk when you greet me with a What's Up. If you think I'm just part of the crowd, part of the furniture, one of your buds, or just Bubba to you, then our relationship will never get to the place that it needs to be. You see, if you look at your mother and father, and it's the old man and the old lady, you'll never get to the relationship that it needs to be. Who do you say that I am? You want advice, you want counsel. Who are you going to go to? And who do you say that person is that you're going to get counsel from? You find, and I could give you biblical examples of all rookie advice, as I call it, when you actually go to somebody like Solomon's son. He went to the kids he grew up with instead of the elders. You know, it's quite a common thing that people make this mistake. And why is it? It's because who do you say the person is that you're trying to develop a relationship with? I have a very long story, but to give you the short version, when Wendy and I had the mother and father of all arguments in 1985, July as it happens, that's a long time ago, and we argued till 5 o'clock in the morning, in case you think you have any idea what you know what an argument is, I'm sorry you don't. So, and in the end, the way that we nailed it and stopped it was when I yelled at the top of my voice, and I don't have a voice anymore like I used to, and I don't. My voice is nowhere near where it was. That I yelled at 5 o'clock in the morning, and every part of our house shook. And my yell was, "You are my wife. I am your husband. That's it." Every demon in the county left. Well, it was Greene County. They all came to Ulster County, and so. And some of them used. Some of you said, "Come on in." You're laughing at that? You see, from the abundance of my heart, I don't joke like that. Some of you just welcomed them. Because you've never defined who your spouse is. You've never defined who your wife is. You've never defined. You see, your spouse may be, well, we'll give it a shot. Is that who you say it is? Your spouse may be, oh, the old lady, or whatever. Well, we'll stay together for the kids' sake. Is that who you say she is? You'll never have a relationship that God designed for you. Who do your children say you are? Who do your children say you are? Huh? You're just the nag. You're just the one that keeps grounding me. You're just, what do your children say about you? See, I thank God that I have a Proverbs 31 wife. And I publicly say I have a Proverbs 31 wife. And part of the privilege and the hard work, which involves staying up till 5 o'clock in the morning and nailing the problem. By the way, 5:01, there was a kiss. And part of the problem is you're not actually prepared to do what is necessary to develop a relationship and nail the reality of the relationship. If I'm just somebody in this house to you, that's what I am. If Josh isn't Pastor Josh, don't worry, we don't need titles around here. If he isn't Pastor Josh, then you will not get what he has. Do you understand that? You see, you can give a glass of water to a prophet, and what do you get? You can give a glass of water to a righteous man, and what do you get? Well, we're all righteous men. What reward do you want? You see, if you are looking at our eldership as just another one of the guys and their wives, then that's all they are to you. And that's all the drink you get from it. Come on, folks, this is good preaching. I know what I'm talking about on this subject. Relationships. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say your boss is? Now, come on, let's go there. The person that employs you, the person that is, if it wasn't for him or her or that corporation, you would be unemployed. What do you say about them? Who do you say they are? Oh, we don't know what he's talking about. Oh, no wonder you haven't been promoting in the last 17 years. Who do you say they are? The Bible teaches us very clearly who they are. They're your master. They really are. They really are. And these are all things that we've got to grasp. The beginning, the origin of every relationship is that question. How about your grandparents? How about your grandparents? This is what we love about when we go to other cultures and the older folks there, the grandparents, especially places like India and Africa. I remember asking Annette, we sat down last summer, I'll never forget it, when they were playing volleyball. Remember we were sitting next to each other? I said, Annette, what do you miss mainly about Uganda, about Africa? She said, my grandmother's in her 90s, and she began to tell me about her grandmother. You see, the most precious thing in her life that she misses now was her grandmother, because she has such a value in that woman that she now has everything that that woman had to offer in her spirit. So I just want to tell you this. The origin of all relationships. I mean, who do you say the president is? Come on, let's nail this. I'm sure we have a few Republicans here. Because a lot of people think that being a Christian means you're a Republican. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that being a Republican makes you a Christian. But it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat. Who do you say the senator is, the governor is, the mayor is, the president is? Who do you say? Oh, him. I'm sick and tired of him and her and this and that. And what are you going to reap from it? I tell you what you're going to reap from it. You're going to lose your own authority. You're going to wonder why your kids don't listen to you. Because you're not under authority. I used to mock our senator until one day the Lord rebuked me and realized I can't do this. She was my senator. And whether I liked it or not, whether I voted or not, has nothing to do with it. If you don't like the system, then don't vote and shut up. You know, I don't like democracy. Let's not keep it a secret, all right? There's no democracy in the church, so after everything else, it doesn't really matter, right? There's no democracy in the family. You got democracy in your family? Poor you. Poor you. The reason I don't like democracy is it's very clear. Jesus taught on it very clearly. He says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Boom. So, let's not go there. Who do you say that I am? So, we'll leave that. Does everybody know the rest of it? We'll leave that one right there where it is, Daniel. The origin of relationship. And so, let me just quote it. All right, carry on. Throw it all up there now, Daniel. He's good at this. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You're the answer of every prophecy, the answer of every man's need. You are the one sent by God who's going to free the world from sin. That's who you are, mate. Next. Jesus said, blessed art thou, got to quote it in King James, sorry, Simon Bar-Jonah, I'm not apologizing, I would take that back. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. You'll never have God-given solid relationships without heavenly revelation. Revelation. You got to get a revelation of this. The reason why we as a culture are crumbling is the number one revelation we don't have is, as somebody already, Diana's already said today, is we culturally have a problem with authority. We culturally have that problem. So therefore, whenever you begin to move, listen, when I go anywhere, in a store, in a restaurant, I want to know who's in charge. Did I tell you the story about when I went to one of the restaurants here in... No, I don't think I'll tell you a story. It was a lot of fun, though. This kid, he was a lunker. Do you know what a lunker is? And where do you go to Planet Fitness? A lunker? You know what a lunker is, right? They got a lunk alarm at Planet Fitness. So if anybody drops weights or... You know, boom, the lunker. Meh! Lunk! You know. I like the principle, actually. But so we go to the restaurant. It was with Jeff Martin. We give him the name Martin. We're waiting and waiting and seeing other people. And so I said to the guy, actually, Jeff said, you know, my name's Martin. He said, oh, I already called it out. We're from me to Gary away. We're like 8 to 10 feet away from this guy. I said, I got good ears. I didn't hear it. And as he walked past me, this big lunk, he went, I said it 3 times. You see, he doesn't understand authority. He didn't know who I am. Well, I'm just Vaughn in that situation, to be honest. But I got a revelation of who Vaughn is. Not Vaughn the pastor, Vaughn the prophet. Vaughn, the son of God. Vaughn, a man who's 62, Mr. 20-something year old, Mr. Pumping Iron. So I said, you did what? You called my name 3 times and I didn't hear it? Are you saying I'm deaf? Well, try calling the manager's name once. Manager was there real quick. She got rid of him. We got free salads and a $20 gift certificate from the store. So now, we all have that right. I'm not having some kid mumble at me. Now, maybe you kids don't mind if a kid mumbles at you. But I've been walking the earth too long for that. And let me show you what I'm talking about. Relationships. Now let's go to that one, 1 Timothy 5 there, Daniel, 1 through 3. The number one rule of relationship is recognition. Somebody say recognition. You must recognize who you're trying to build a relationship with. You must recognize this. If I'm building a relationship with a professional, I'm not going to slam into them with my opinion. Because I realize that they're studied, they're learned, they've practiced. I'm going to recognize who they are. Whether I like who they are or where they are isn't the point. All right, let's read this. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Right there. An older man. Doesn't say your dad. It doesn't say your uncle. It doesn't say Pastor Don or Steve. Actually, it does say Steve. Right there, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Now, that puts every single older man in the world in that category. And you've got to recognize it. So when you talk to an older man, younger men, you better remember this. Because this is the truth that will set you free. Are we doing all right? Younger men as brothers. Oh, praise God. Brothers. Chris is my brother. He's my brother. He's my younger brother, but he's my brother. They're my brothers. Do you know how many brothers I have in Christ that are so much closer to me than my brother in England? So much closer. I've got dozens and dozens of them closer to me. My own blood brother. That's why the Africans have that beautiful expression, blood is thicker than milk. What that means is the blood of Jesus is thicker than the milk of the breast of your mother. It's a beautiful expression. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers. Now, okay, we got the older guys treat them as fathers and the older women treat them as mothers. What is the first commandment with promise? So you will? Exactly. If you don't honor older people, not just your mum and dad, older people, you've only got to go to India. I mean, Joshua's full of the shock of what their cultural respect for older people. That we've lost. My name is not Oi. There's somebody at the gym a few weeks ago went, Oi! I actually recognize the voice. Do you think I turned around? No chance. No chance. I do not respond to Oi. Never. I do not respond to, what's up? I don't even respond to, how's it? There's only half a dozen of us in here know what I'm talking about. I respond to Vaughn, Pastor, Dad, whatever the grandchildren are trying to get their tongue round. I also respond to, can I buy you lunch? In that case, my name is you. Okay, so here we go. Younger women as sisters with all purity. Do you know why they have a problem? In the church we work with in India, they have a problem finding husbands and wives for each other because if they're in the same church, they feel like brother and sister and you can't marry your sister. They're that close in their hearts of the truth of brother and sister. It's an amazing reality. Okay, are we good? Recognition. You want a good relationship? Recognition. Nothing comes before it. Let's go to the next subject. Subject is, next one is, we'll skip that then. Is raise, to raise in the relationship. See, I started this lesson just on with children, but it's much more. You need to recognize in your children. I hate the way we raise our children just... like a group, as opposed to individually. And we in this church, we do not raise people as a group, we raise as individually. I'm hot, somebody open the door or something. Chris, open that one, mate, so we can cause a breeze. Thanks, James. Why am I not surprised with the guys that leapt up? So see if that back door will open, Chris, and stick something other than your foot in it. So let's go to the obvious scripture in Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way you should go. I remember when Elaine taught on child raising, she said, you've got 3 years to train your child. Does anybody listen to that? From birth to 3 years old, or till five if they're compliant. And I'm listening to this lady when it comes to child raising. Train up a child. Let me tell you something. If you've been in the Lord more than 5 years and you're still dissatisfied, it's going to be tough helping you. Come on, let's get mean this morning. I don't care. You see, when Chris and Jared came into this church, they'd been the church as kids, but they, you know, and then they joined the Navy and did all that atomic stuff on them aircraft carriers and whatever the heck they do. 5,000 people on one boat's mind blowing. Eh? Anyway. Is it about five, roughly? Yeah. So, 7,000 people on one ship, and they expect them all to be sane? Anyway, it's not the point. So, I met my wife on a ship, so. So anyway, they come to the church, two deer in the head, like, they recommit, but get born again, whatever didn't happen. Next week, down in the cafe, Diane prays for them speaking tongues. In the cafe, hallelujah. Next time we have a baptism, in they go, out they come. And I said, okay, you got to come to India with me. Okay. You see, because they were less than 3 years old. No easy to work with. Come on, folks. You know how many of you I'm slapping? You can't feel it. Gee, I better try harder here. So many of you have been in the Lord so long and have never come under the discipline of discipleship that you're virtually no use because you don't understand relationships. When I got born again, they said, you need to speak in tongues. I went, oh, okay, what's that? Oh, we just lay hands. Oh, I gotta. Blah, 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 blah. And somebody said, that's it. I went, oh, it is okay. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't have all these hang-ups. What about this and what about that? Oh, and what about that? And he said and she said, I just blooming well did it. Yeah. And you all know the story about tithing brings you brought the subject up. Somebody handed a tract out on tithing. Can you Adam and Eve it? Who would do that? So Wendy brought it home and gave it to her. And I said, what's this word, tithing? What is tithing? So I opened the Bible and saw, yeah, it's in there. Okay, so immediately, because I was less than 3 years old. Train up a Daniel, you've been saved more than 3 years. He's easy to teach. Can you hear what I'm saying? And all of your mumbling and grumbling, you older folks, is because you missed the first 3 years or five if you're compliant, and now the only way that you can get back off the scrap heap is to become like a child. Who gave that advice once? Jesus. That was it. It was Jesus. So you old folks, as long as you're right and we're wrong, that's okay. Enjoy the scrap heap. I think we'll just go past the raise. One thing I will say, and I want you to go here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know it sounds like I'm being mean. See, I have one purpose in life. Are you ready to hear it? Laborers. That's it. I don't want complainers. I don't want critics. I don't want people who've just joined this church and think they know more than me. Go find another one. This is the wrong one. I'm the last person in the world to start a fight with. Now, you can come in and say, Vaughn, you know, I don't understand. You know, there's a difference between asking a question and being questioning. Does anybody here not know the difference between those two things? People can ask me questions. Does anybody here know who is the king of questions? Well, you're close, Chris. You've got the silver. It's Kwame. Kwame is the gold medal of questions. But I don't find him questioning. He's just got questions every week. Now, let me give you an example. Are you ready? What was I talking about there? 1 Corinthians 11, was that it? 2 Corinthians 11? Look at this. God, this drives me nuts. You know the 1 Corinthians, right? We've got people who've read the Bible here, right? 1 Corinthians, the entire book, except the first 10 verses and chapter 15, is a rebuke. The entire book. You're doing communion wrong. You're meeting wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. You're using the gifts wrong. Your marriages are wrong. Your money's wrong. And then he goes in 1 Corinthians 15. Praise God. He preaches the gospel. Then chapter 16. Bye. And do you know why I sincerely believe, this may be controversial, why I sincerely believe that that church was such a mess? Because of this. Because of this. He refused to let the Corinthians look after him. It's gone quiet in here. He kept them as children because he kept them irresponsible. You want good relationships? Be responsible. Okay, let's move on. I do this. I do rob other churches, by the way. I rob them for India. I rob them for Africa. I rob them with an absolute clear conscience. All right. Let's go now to the next one. So the first thing in a relationship is recognition. The second thing is raising a child and not being afraid to press newbies into the things of God. I'd rather work with somebody who's been saved less than 3 years than somebody who's on their seventh church. Did I say that? The third part of relationship, and this is the hardest, is release. Release. Who recently has heard anything about this Chinese lady who's brought that book out about being a tiger mum? Have you? Yeah. Man, I got to read that a little bit more. Have you heard about it? You know, these Chinese mums where they don't say, oh, go and practice your violin. And they say, you go, 3 hours, violin. I'm not exaggerating. Maybe the accent needs a bit more Mandarin in it, but I'm not exaggerating. A minus to the Chinese is failure. Failure. So this lady says, if you become a tiger mum up to their 15, you won't be a helicopter mum for the rest of their lives. Now that is a great revelation. Hovering over your kids when they should be out there in the Marines. Come on, folks. We've all done it, because we're not Chinese probably, but that's not the point. How many of you are still hovering over your kids and they're married? How many of you are still hovering over your kids? And you're not giving them responsibility because you are making them codependent and you're robbing yourself to give to them. You're robbing your time when you should be training other people, when you're still sucking up to your own kids, when they should have been up and out by now. And I'm not talking about just coming back from India, dear. Because I have two of my girls back in the house because they've been in India. They're missionaries. They come in and out. And I am their first authority. So therefore, yeah, I mean, I don't expect them to have an apartment and go on a mission trip when I can do something about it. That's a different story. In fact, I'd do it for anybody. If there's one thing I got the faith for, is roofs and food. How many in here, don't raise your hands, but how many in here know what I'm talking about? Release. Okay, Daniel, I hope you got this exact, Matthew 6, 12 through 15. Because we've jumped in here on purpose. We all know the beginning. This, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in the heavens. Give us this day our daily bread. Fine. Then what? Forgive us our debts. Now, I like that. That word debt. Debt. As we forgive our debtors. And I'm not just talking about kesef, all right? Hebrew word for silver. Hebrew word for money. Forgive us our debts. Have you released your children from their debts? I wish I'd got this clip, Don. Sidney Poitier. Not sure what movie it was. But Sidney Poitier was a successful, I don't know if it was one when he was a lawyer or something, but his father was a mailman. And here we have Sidney Poitier, a successful man, I think he was a lawyer, let's say, okay. And his father and him are having an argument because their relationship isn't right. And his father says, "You owe me everything. I worked to put you through college. Ever done to that your kids? Shame on you. Shame on you. So, suddenly Sidney Poitier, he's a great actor, isn't he? Did you like him? He's a bit old for some of you kids, right? He was like Denzel 40 years ago. Yeah. Right? Am I right, Don? Yeah. He said, "I owe you nothing. It was your duty to raise me. It was your duty to put me through school. It was your responsibility." I mean, amen, brother. Don't you put that stuff on your kids. Don't you put that "you owe me" stuff. You owe me? My kids owe me nothing. Well, a few dollars, but that's a business deal. It's business. Say something different. You'll be amazed what a good businessman I am, actually. But anyway. So. Are your kids in debt to you? I know a lot of them are. You hang it over them somehow. Cut them free. Cut them loose. I mean, my children, we're meeting today, my family. First time we've all been together in years because Steve came in November. And at that time, X and Sarah were in India. So X and Sarah missed Thanksgiving. But then they came back for Christmas, but Sarah and Grace weren't there. They're in India. Alice and Grace are in India. And so now, Paul and my son, Paul and Mal, and their children are coming down. So we're all the Jarrods are meeting together, first time for years. We have such a powerful relationship. Proverbs 31 woman. What is part of Proverbs 31 woman? Her husband is an elder in the gate. You see, if you have a Proverbs 31 marriage, if you have a real marriage on godly principles, you better believe you'll never have to ask your kids to respect you. Never. They'll have to. They have to. It's in them. They're proud of their mother and father. I've got to tell you this. I'm only trying to tell you this for your edification. Okay, it's my story. What can I do? What can I do? When we went to England, when my son came out of the Marines, we were over there for my nephew's wedding. It was the first wedding for the English Jarrods. So we all went. My son had just come out of the Marines, and I have no military history in my entire family. So this guy, you know, US Marine, twice out to Iraq, and the whole family is amazed at this kid. handsome. He looked so nice in his suit and his blonde hair. And I remember just at one moment when they were talking about him, I said, yeah, I'm really proud of my son. He said, no, Dad, I'm proud of you. That was one of the highlights of my life, man. One of the highlights of my life when all three of my daughters in India preaching the gospel together. You see, because of the relationships, we recognize each other. I raised them. I didn't do a great job. I was not a good father when they were little. But boy, we made up for it later. I know I wasn't a good father. But I confessed I was a good father when I was a bad one. Yeah, you think you can go beyond your confession? No way. I don't know if you remember it, Alice, you're the firstborn. You're all upstairs making a heck of a noise. We live in a farmhouse in the Catskill Mountains, and it's winter. Anybody remember what cabin fever used to be like when we used to have winters? And suddenly I yell up the stairs, shut up, you lot, come down here. Remember, you saw the Sound of Music, right, with the whistle? They pinched that from me. So they all line up, bip, 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 bip. And I'm standing and going, let me tell you something. And I'll go. And I blank. Do you ever do that? When you're about giving a speech and you blank. I don't do it very often, but. And I said, let me tell you something. I'm a good father. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a good father. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't run around with women. I've been faithful to your mother, loyal, and I put it, yeah, I'm a good father. And I began to realize that, you know, you've got to begin, sure, flaws. Whew. I had more flaws than the Empire State Building. Welcome home, Alice. She'd just come from England, so she was the first one to get it. Now, that was good. I don't care what your name is. Get her done. Okay, move on quick. We've got to wrap this up. Forgive us our debt. Cut your debts. Don't let anybody owe you anything but to love one another. If you've done me a favor, thanks. I'm not going to repay you. If I've done you a favor, you're welcome. Next. And do not lead us in temptation. Deliver us from evil. Next. No, we missed a bit. Yeah. No, you're right there, David. Your brother. For if you forgive men their trespasses. Now, when we think of the word trespass, we think of getting shot, right, in this country. Right? Yellow signs. Whereas when I think of the word trespass, I mean you are in my space. Now, how many times are people getting in your space? Getting into your life, interfering, nagging. Nagging. I mean, nagging is living proof that you've got lousy relationships. Another one, if you have to tell someone you're in charge, you ain't. Oh, I want to go back quickly. Sorry, let me go back to... praise God, about responsibility. I've got to do this quickly. All right, Daniel, can you go back to Romans 15:1? Because there would seem like a bit of a dichotomy here. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. All right, all strong Christians, raise your hand. Okay, you don't have a choice. Help the weak. End of conversation. Right. Now the next one, Daniel, on the list, if I'm not mistaken. Try it. Is it? Yeah. Receive one who's weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. That's me. I'll help the weak, but I won't put up with the argumentative. Come on, I've got a scripture on it. It's right behind me. You want to fight? Go pick on someone your own size. Don't pick on me. You understand what I'm saying? And this is all coming out of lack of recognition. Okay, last one. We've done release. And the last one, the most important. Listen, Jesus released us from sin. Come on, folks. He released us from sin. He released us from the law. He released us from sickness. He released us from debt. He released us from shame. He released us from guilt. He released us for one purpose. Galatians. I put it on the NIV. Did you notice that, Daniel? Oh, did I not put it up? I didn't. I'm sorry, bud. I'm not even sure what it is. It says, or maybe I can find it on the other page. No. In the book of Galatians, we'll find it in a minute. It says, and it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Did everybody hear that? It was for freedom, not for worship. It was for freedom, not for mission trips. It was for freedom, not for offerings. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You see, the bottom line is, I want you to hear this. All religious bones get ready to leave the building. Every holy cow, this is your demise. We owe God nothing. Oh, yeah. Because he wants to have relationship with people. This is why religion fails so hopelessly. Because religion says you must do something. Religion says you must put your cheese and crackers in front of the elephant god. Religion says you must, well, I'm not going to pick on any religion. But I'm telling you now, and if you've never heard this, this is one question you can ask me on. We owe God nothing. And until you get that, you are going to strive for the rest of your life with God and every relationship on the planet. Because Jesus set me free because he loves me, not because he wanted anything from me. Because you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I'm going to tie it up on that. That will do, and that will suffice for today. Give you a little bit of chew on. I don't mind asking questions about this. Please, can I be so bold as home groups? This would be an excellent subject this week. Because I know many of you, your relationships suck. Some of you have been coming to this church for a year, I don't even know your name. I know I don't remember names, but it's not the point. I've never seen you at a home group. I've never seen you at a work party. I've never seen you at a breakfast meeting. I've never seen you at a special meeting during the week. What the heck do you think you're doing? You call that a relationship? I call that waving at my wife. That's what I call that. You know what I like to do? I like to do this. And you'll never experience that until you begin to recognize, raise, release. Then you can relate. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, I just want to bless you and thank you for the people in this house. I thank you, Lord, that their life is free because you set them free from sin and guilt and shame and from the power of the law. To set us free, that we can worship you from a willing heart, from a desire to serve you, a love response that cannot be changed and cannot be mediated. Father, I thank you that we want to kiss the Son because that's what it's about. Today, if you are a person here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have not begun the path of recognition that you have been someone who says you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you're in a place this morning, my friend, where you have not come before God, recognizing Him as the only way is through Jesus Christ. If you are not sure of your salvation, this morning we give you the opportunity, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, while we focus on the soul of man, I'm asking you today, do you know for sure that you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, that your sin has been forgiven? Are you sure that if you die today, you'll go straight to heaven? If you're not, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. If you're not sure of your salvation, we want to make sure that one of our pastors will pray with you and lead you. We're not asking you to come to the front, but we are asking you, if you do not know that Jesus Christ is the only way to begin a relationship with Him and the Father by the Holy Spirit, then raise your hand right now. In Jesus' name.